Here, saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This time of year, it is that we come together for this sorrowful, repentant nature. Last week, we got a bit of a pull towards the direction of the cross with a little joy and rejoicing, as is the fourth week of Lent, as is also paralleled in Advent with the third week there. But as we come out of that swing of a bit of peace and joy of the season, we come this final week looking to next week, Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and the like, that there's a heavy weight upon us because our Lord bore the heavy weight of our sin. And the Epistle of Timothy reminds us, second Epistle of Timothy reminds us just what it is that we see here, as St. Paul looks at the life of people who are created to be one way, but aren't that way now. And this is the hard part. And here he's talking to Timothy, like he wrote this epistle to a pastor that he ordained and placed in place to preach the gospel to the people. And he's saying, look, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he starts out with that little glimpse of blessing. So as we come, like I said, out of that rejoicing, out of that glimpse that we had this season, here it is that we see something else. I went to the wrong chapter. We didn't read that part. Though he starts out earlier in chapter 2 saying that. And that's important for us to note with chapter 3 as he talks to Timothy. Because here he comes to see what we might see in the world around us and even in our own lives. We'd be foolish to say that we didn't fall into any of the sins that he lists. We'd be foolish to say that we've never been lovers of ourselves more than somebody else, or even of our God, or that we weren't lovers of money ever in our life, that we've never been proud or arrogant or abusive or disobedient to our parents. I would say to that last one, think on your childhood. There might be some memories that you're trying to forget. And there might be times that we'd be foolish to say that we weren't ungrateful. It'd be foolish to say that we aren't unholy, because see, sin corrupted our whole being. And in that sin, we would find heartlessness, that we would be unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, and brutal. And that the things that should be loved, that are good, we find that we don't love it. That we can be treacherous, reckless, and swollen with conceit. And maybe we found that we love the good things of life, the pleasures, rather than loving our God, that we've made a God out of the things that he's given us of this life, rather than serving the God who gave us all things. And that there be times that all we do is try to put on a good face and look as godly and holy as we ought to be. I know growing up, I got to see a change in church. Because see, when I was younger, you'd all be sitting here dressed in suits and nice dresses. And some of the women would be wearing hats. But nowadays, we've gone away from that. And I miss it to some extent because it gave something to be gained and worn and less of a distraction while at church. But at the same time, there are good things to be said, for there were some who hid in plain sight in their clothing and said, oh, look how nice I am this week. And all we were dressing to look nice and be nice, to have an appearance rather than actually living out what we were supposed to be doing. And there it would be that we would deny the power of God's righteousness and his godliness in doing so. Now, St. Paul says something that's interesting. I've always found this interesting because he says, avoid such people. It's hard to avoid the person you see in the mirror. But what he's saying is what he says elsewhere. Should you keep on sinning? By no means. Jesus would say it to other people as he would forgive them their sins. Go and sin no more. And so here, St. Paul goes on to talk about very specific circumstances of people in their times, people who would do treacherous things and hurt people in even more terrible ways by breaking into people's houses and assaulting them. And there it is that we each have in this life been led astray by the sins and passions we so choose to love more than we've loved God. And this is why we need our Lord and Savior. It's why the season of Lent is as heavy as this passage. For St. Paul starts the epistle talking to Timothy, one who's an overseer, one who's a pastor, one who's been given to be an example. Here he brings this terrible thing, saying, hey, don't be discouraged, for you will see this. And sure enough, they were seeing it in their day as well. And all the way back with Moses too. And so Paul, an apostle Christ, as he tells us in the opening of his epistle to Timothy, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ. And that's the purpose of what we see today. Yes, we have fallen into sin. But see, that's why Jesus came. Because we had need of forgiveness. We had need of salvation. And so here, as St. Paul reminds this young pastor, Timothy, of what he will see, he's telling him, don't be discouraged. Don't forget the grace of God that abounds. That there you would find something new, because he goes on to talk about how all God's word is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. And here he would say that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, God gives you his word to strengthen you, knowing that Jesus would die for you. So our hymn today, Cross of Jesus, Cross of Sorrow, reminds us of what is to come, right? Cross of Jesus, Cross of Sorrow, where the blood of Christ was shed, perfect man on thee did suffer, perfect God on thee has bled, for the King of all the ages, throned in light ere worlds could be, robed in mortal flesh, is dying, crucified by sin for me. And here that weight settles in the pit of our stomach, that God, Jesus Christ, who is born of Mary, both God and man, has bled and died and suffered because of sin for me, for you. And this is where this Gospel of Matthew plays out. Because see, these people that the Lord has worked through, the Pharisees and the chief priests and all of them that we read of here in Matthew 26, that were gathered, the elders and so forth, that were gathered in the palace of the high priest Caiaphas. They didn't like Jesus because it took away from their own self-righteousness, their own self-pride, their own self-salvation that they thought they had set up. The reminder that they needed a Savior as promised of old was more than they wanted to bear or handle. And so they come to plot. And as on Sunday, we get again Jesus telling the apostles this picture of what's to come as his face is looking to Jerusalem, as he is looking to what he's going to do. He tells them, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. And he's reminding them that he must die. He must bear the sins of the world. And they struggled with this. They didn't want to see something bad happen to Jesus. He was their friend. But that's what would take place. But these chief priests and the high priest and the elders and all those gathered there, they plotted, but they knew they would have to come at a time when nobody would notice because people seemed to like Jesus. And so they say, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. They wanted people later as they took him to those who could crucify him to support him. As we later hear the crowds cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And here it is, this picture of what it takes to save you and save all of mankind. And this is the picture of the end of our hymn as well. O mysterious, condescending, O abandonment sublime. Very God himself is bearing all the sufferings of time. Cross of Jesus, cross of sorrow, where the blood of Christ was shed. Perfect man on thee did suffer. Perfect God on thee has bled. And while the opening and closing verse are the same, here it is that where we heard the wait at the beginning, now at the end it's something new, still waitful. But if we take this paired with our reading, we get a different picture. A picture of salvation for you. And this is the life that was laid down. It was so important to God that he love you. And as he loved you, he would give his grace, his mercy to you. That he would bear your flesh and your sin. And there in him he would die in Christ. That where you were dead, condemned forever, now you live, and you live to Christ. That there you would have eternal life, there with him who knows your sin. He knows whether that list of sins we read earlier is one that you struggle with, though they were pretty universal, so I bet there's at least one that all of us could point to that we've struggled with. Or if your sin wasn't on that list at all. He knows you inside and out. And he calls to you. That there you have come to be served and saved by the blood of the Savior who suffered for you. That there, as you're called by the blood of Christ which poured down, as his body was given for you, and his blood shed for you, and he suffered there for you. He is that perfect man and that perfect God, that there his suffering was for you. It was on you that his blood was shed. That the death you would have died forever, he died and defeated. That there on him in his resurrection, you would find that with him, you would have his blood shed upon you, that death is no more. And as he has risen, you shall rise in him to everlasting life. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.